We're in the middle of discussing a halacha that's based on chapter 28 in Likut Imran, where Rabbi Nezal speaks about the right kind of learning and the wrong kind of learning. He speaks about the Dalet Alfin of Kedusha, a certain term that's used in the writings of the Arizal, based on a pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech, where it says, Vayedaber Shloishes Alofim Moshol, Vayhi Shiroi Chamishav Elef. That he taught 3,000 and then another 1,000, four Alephs, the four Alephs of Kedusha, which we said were associated with the Korban Tamid. The word Tamid, Tuf Mem Dalid, was 444, is Bigimatria 4 times 111, which is the word Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei. And we spoke about the positive Limudim and the wrong kind of Limudim, and that when, just like in learning, there's this concept of being able to be selective and choose the right type of learning. So too, we mentioned that from the time of the sin of Adam HaRishon, where they ate from the Eitz Hadas, which was good and bad mixed together, now everything in the world has good and bad mixed together and requires birur, requires refinement, separating the good from the bad, extracting the bad and retaining and refining the good. And we said this applies especially to food, and it applies to everything. And we mentioned the fact that Adam and Chava were convinced by the snake through his wrong type of limudim from these alfin nefulim. That's where the advice came to go against Hashem and to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to quote a famous medrash and explain it related to our topic. Paragraph Beis. V'zeh shom Rabbi Seinu Zal, and this is what our rabbis tell us, arbo'o poschu bi'af. There were four negative occurrences in the world where they started their proposal with the word af. The word af means anger, kas, which is a negative term. The word af means also, and also so and such and such. Vehem, who are the four? Number one, Hanochash HaKadmoini, the original snake. Sheomar, who in his conversation with Chava, he drew her into a conversation to get involved with him. And then the Nochash said, Af ki omar alikim. And in addition, this that Hashem said, it's not really true. Vesar ho'oifim. And then the baker, the king's baker, who was together with Yosef HaTzadik in prison. And when the king's baker and the one who was in charge of the wine, when they both had dreams on the same night, and Yosef HaTzadik interpreted the dream of the one who took care of the wine and drinks in a positive way. So then the baker thought, ha, afani b'chalomi, I also had a dream, thinking that his dream will also have a happy interpretation, a happy ending. Va'adas Koirach. And then there's the community of Koirach who went against Moshe Rabbeinu. She'omru, they said, Afel Eretz, and also he never brought us Teretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu did this bad to us and this bad, and also he didn't even fulfill his commitment to bring us Teretz Yisrael. And the final one, Haman, that when Haman sees himself rising in power and glory, and the king favors him and the king gives him all kinds of control, and then Queen Esther invites him to a private banquet with the king, he tells his family, Af, and also, I'm so great and I'm so successful, and also, Esther Hamalka only invited me, besides herself and the king, to eat with them together. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki kol elu huarbo nimshach deyoseim horois mizua mas hanochosh. All four of these drew their opinions and their understanding of things from the tuma of that original snake, me'atzas hanochosh, from the advice of the snake. Shehito Esa Adam, who caused man to make a terrible error. Shenimshach Milimudim Hanefulim Hanal, which comes from the fallen Alephs, from a type of learning that has fallen into the Klipos, into the Sitrachra. V'alkein Heim Dalet, and this is why the Medrash says there are four outstanding examples of this. Keneged Dalet Alfen Hanal, corresponding to the four Alephs, which are the source of this Chochma. We mentioned in the previous year, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Va'alefcha Chochma, I will teach you Chochma. The word A'alefcha, Aleph. Kiheim Pogmu B'Alfen Hanal, because all four of these messed up in the area of these Alfen. V'nase Etzlom Me Aleph Af. And by them, the Aleph got converted to Af. It dropped the Lamed. The letter Lamed is Miloshin Limud. Limud, learning. Shehu Bechinas Charoin Af. The word Af usually means anger. Tukfa Dedina, the severe din, judgment, harshness. Ki Hadalet Alfen Begdusha Hein Bechinas Toiras Emes. Because the concept of these four holy Alephs, that represents the truth of the Torah. Shehu Bechinas Chasodim Gedoilim, which is a very high level of chesed, kindness. Bechinas Toiras Chesed. As we know, the Pasuk in Mishlei speaks about Toiras Chesed al Lashoina, that she carries a Torah of chesed on her tongue. Kamuvan Bahatoiran al, and as Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this, over there in chapter 28 in Likutei Moran, which this halacha is based on. Aval kishepoigmim bohem. However, when a person transgresses against these Alephs, nasemize kfirus va'avidazora, then instead of emes, instead of toiras emes, it becomes atheism and idol worship. Shehu bechinas din v'charoinaf, which is associated with judgment and anger. K'moshom Rabbi Seinuzal, as it says in the Sifri, kol zman sheyesh avodah zorah boilam, charoinaf boilam, that as long as there's idol worship and denial of Hashem in the world, there's anger in the world. V'alkein elu ho'arbo anal paschu kulam ba'af, and this is why the Medrash highlights this, that all four of these started their presentation with that word af. Kinase etzlom me alef af, because by them the alefs became damaged, and instead of alef it became af. Ki kulam pogmu alidei toirois hanefulois hanal, because all four of these, they messed up in the area of these fallen toirois, this fallen wisdom, this mistaken wisdom. V'alkein lomdu limud she'eino yemes. And this is why they came up with an idea that was not true, that was not valid. V'dimyoin shel sheker, a false comparison. K'moy anochosh, like the snake who said to Chava, Shomar, af k'yomar l'kim lo yisochon etzagan. And in addition, Hashem said not to eat. He said not to eat. She said he said not to touch and not to eat. So he said, and also he said not to eat. That's also not true. That also is not going to harm you. The snake started off with the words, didn't Hashem say not to eat from any of these trees? He started off that way, to engage Chava in conversation so that she said, no, we're allowed to eat from all the trees, just this one not. And this was the snake's introduction to convince her to eat from this one also, from the Eitz Hadas, by making some kind of comparison, some kind of analogy. V'chein sar ho'ifim, and so too the baker, the king's baker, Omar, said, Afani b'chalomi, I also had a dream. V'rotzo l'damois l'hashvois chalomoi l'chalom sar hamashkim. By adding that word also, he wanted to compare his dream to the dream of his buddy, of the sar hamashkim, that Masha, so probably, just like his dream heralded good news, my dream also. Masha be'emes heim shnei hafochim. Whereas in reality, the two dreams were opposites, complete opposites. Ukemuva b'divrei Rabbi Seinasal, as our rabbis expound on this. The Sar Hoifim, the Sar Hamashkim, was welcomed back to Paroi's good graces, and he was reinstated in his position, and he served Paroi. The Sar Hoifim was hung, and the birds ate his flesh. V'chein adas Koirach, and so too those people that joined together with Koirach, when they said, Af loyel Eretz, and also he didn't bring us in Teretz Yisroel. V'rotzu lahatois es Yisroel. Those people wanted to mislead the Jews at that time, ke'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu chas v'sholem hita oisam, as if Moshe Rabbeinu misled us. You see, he's misleading us. He's promising things, he's not fulfilling it. V'lomdu kal v'chomer shel shtus. And the Midrash shows that they came up with a fortiori, they came up with a kal v'chomer that was nonsense, where they said, they asked Moshe Rabbeinu a question, if you have a garment that's completely made of tcheles, does it require tzitzis? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, definitely. So they said, that's ridiculous. Uma chut echot shel tcheles, poiteres hatales. If when you have a garment made out of any other type of material, one string of tcheles in each corner is enough to purify the garment. So if the entire garment is tcheles, of course it shouldn't need tzitzis. This was their mistaken, false logic. Nimtza she'ikar pigamom hoyo alidei limudim pigumim unefulim. We see from this that their mistake was this wrong type of, this mistaken type of learning. V'chein Haman, and so too Haman Harosha, Sha'omar, who said, and you know, I'm successful here, and I'm great here, and I'm great there, and also Esther Amalka only invited me, implying that this was further proof of his success and his greatness. Afloy hevi Esther, v'lomad bedatoi shehu letoivosoi, and he understood this and interpreted this, that this is being done for his benefit. And this helped him reach new levels of arrogance, where this gave him the brazenness to think that he's going to hang Mordechai on a tree. Whereas in truth, everything, all of his greatness, Hashem kept bringing him higher and higher up on the ladder so that when he would fall, he'd really splatter. Because Esther Amalka was actually placing hot coals on his head by inviting him to this meal. By inviting him to this banquet. As the Gemara points out, Nimtza, so therefore we conclude, we summarize, Shekol elu huarbo pogmu al yedei shekiblu limudim roim hanimshochem mitoirois hanefulois, midalid alfen hanefulim. That all four of these, their mistake, what misled them was that they were drawing from these wrong type of limudim that come from these toirois hanefulois. V'alkein kulam paschu bi'af. And therefore, all of them started their presentation with that term af, shehu bechinas hekesh v'dimyoin sheker hanimshach mitoykef hadin v'charoin af. This implies a comparison, an analogy. Also, the word af means also, but it's a false comparison, a mistaken comparison that comes from af, that comes from anger, kas, charoin af, avodah zorah, the opposite of Torah, the opposite of truth. Shemishom achizas hasitra achra. That's where the other side is attached. V'alkein rotzu ledamois milsa lemilsa bedimyoin sheker v'chozov. And this is why they wanted to compare one thing to another within a false comparison. Any questions, please?
Rav Nosson, what happened to the Lamed of Aleph?
It was removed. I thought that the letter Lamed, it's brought in Sforah, means Limud. Again, they were lacking the Lamed, they were lacking the positive Limud. The Limud fell out. They thought that what they're saying is a Limud. It's logical. And it wasn't just because it seemed to be rational, makes sense, the comparison seemed to have validity to them, it was a false comparison. You follow? So the Lamed, yes, fell out. The Limud, it's Limudim Nefulim. It's fallen Limudim.
And then when Rav Nosenthal teaches that the holy four Alfim are derived by this Chassidim Gedolim, that's the same as Rachamim Gedolim. Does that tie into Keter as well? Is that all of that?
I'm not sure, to be honest. We have to take a look more carefully at the Torah and the Likutei Moran over there, because there are levels and levels of Chesed. But it certainly is associated with Chesed. In that chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nizal speaks about Torah's Chesed. He speaks about Hachnosas Orchim, inviting guests into your home, Avraham Avinu, Oyavi. He speaks about Chesed. Whether he's speaking about the Rachmim Gedolim, the highest level, or standard Chesed, we have to look more carefully over there.
Thank you. Rabbi,
yes.
And this is kind of a side point, but regarding Adam Rishon and Chava, are you aware of anyone who asked the question, where was Adam Rishon at that time that the Nachash came to speak to Chava?
I don't recall seeing that. However, what is made perfectly clear, Rav Nosenthal speaks a lot about this in Evan Ezer, is that the Nachash approached Chava because he knew that she was more vulnerable. She's closer to the Nachash than Adam. Chava represents the Malchus, the Shechina, which is the lowest on the totem pole, on the ladder of Kedusha. That's the bottom rung. That's the one that's most easily susceptible and vulnerable to the Sitra Achla. We have that pasuk, Ragleho Yordos Moves. So that's why he went to Chava first, rather than to Adam HaRishon. Anyone else? Okay, let's continue. Now, Rav Nosenthal is going to show how the four brachos of Birkas HaMazon line up in the different four basic points that Rav Nosenthal makes in that chapter in Likutei Moran. Paragraph Gimel, V'zeh b'chinas arba brachos shel Birkas HaMazon b'protius. Based on what Rav Nosenthal explains over there in Likutei Moran, we'll be able to understand the significance of each individual, unique bracha in Birkas HaMazon. Ki bracha rishona shehu hazon, the first bracha of Birkas HaMazon, which begins with the words hazon es ha'olam kuloi betuvoi bechein bechesed uvarachamim hu keneged bechinas hachesed, corresponds to the point of chesed that Rabbi Nizal makes in that chapter in Likutei Moran. Shetzrichin lahamshich al yidei shetzrichin lahamshich, which a Jew has to draw upon themselves, this chesed, shal yidei zeh misaknin hadalet alfin hanal. This is what enables us to repair any damage in those four alephs. Kuma shekosov shom batoyranal, as Rabbi Nizal writes over there in Likutei Moran. V'zeh b'chinas birchas hazon, that's what the first bracha of Birkas HaMazon is all about. Shehu b'chinas hamshochas hachesed. When we're reciting that bracha, we're trying to draw upon ourselves the chesed. Kama shekosav sham, as it says in the beginning of that bracha, hazon es ha'olam kuloi betuvoi b'chein b'chesed uvarachamim, etc. And it says kili olam chazdoi. So there's tremendous emphasis on this chesed in the first bracha of Birkas HaMazon. Ubracha shnia, the second bracha, she Birkas Ha'oretz, where the focus there is Eretz Yisrael. Noida lecha Hashem alakeinu Hashem, we praise you al Ha'oretz. K'may shemuva b'medrash, as the medrash emphasizes that. Ki hi ikar Birkas HaMazon, because that's one of the most important factors in Birkas HaMazon. Kama shekosuv, as it says in the Torah, V'yochalta v'savata, you'll eat and you'll be full. U'beirachta Hashem alekecha al haaretz, and you'll bless Hashem over the wonderful land that He's given you. V'zois habrocha hu bechinas ikar hamshochas hatikun shel hadalet alfin anal. That bracha represents the most important drawing upon ourselves of the perfection of these dalet alfin. Shenimshach al yedei hachnosas orchim tzadikim, which Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran, we accomplish that by inviting tzadikim, talmidei chachamim, into our home. K'mo shekosov shem, as Rabbeinu Zal writes there, sheze ikar klal bechinas birkas hamozoim, and that's one of the main points in birkas hamozoim, as the Gemara says, balabayis boitzeya v'oireach mevorech, that when it comes to a meal, the one who opens the meal is the balabayis. The host is the one who makes the hamoitzi, starting the meal. But the one who recites the birchas hamozein, the one who leads the birchas hamozein, is the guest. V'oireach mevorech. So we see that birchas hamozein is connected to the singing of the oireach, the guests. V'zeh b'chinas birchas ha'oretz. And this is also the emphasis on the bracha of the land of Eretz Yisrael. Kalidei shemavorchen al Eretz Yisrael, because by reciting this blessing about Eretz Yisrael, ayudei zeh mamshichim kedushas ho'orchim tzadikim. This is how we draw upon ourselves and into our homes the holiness of these guests, these holy guests, these tzadikim, shekol kedushosom hu bechinas kedushas Eretz Yisrael, where the holiness of the tzadikim is the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, tzadikim yirshu eretz, tzadikim inherit the land. We've mentioned this before, but to make it clearer, we know that a Jew is not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael unless there are certain very important extenuating circumstances. One of the great poskim, the Stechemed, writes about this, as do other tzaddikim. And he mentions two important things. One is a shidduch. If a person has a significant opportunity to engage with their shidduch, their soulmate, a person is permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael for that. And the other one is kivrei tzaddikim. The Stechemed mentions to go to the kever of a tzaddik. And we know that the Gemara emphasizes that Ezra HaSofer, one of the greatest tzaddikim of all time, Ezra HaSofer was the one who was going to lead Klal Yisrael back into Eretz Yisrael after the Golus Bavel. And the Gemara says he waited until his Rebbe passed away, until Baruch Ben Neriah passed away. Because while his Rebbe was living, that was Eretz Yisrael. That was the place of Eretz Yisrael. When Baruch Ben Neriah passed away, that's when Ezra Sefer was ready to leave to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Ubirkas, now we come to the third bracha. Ubirkas boinei Yerushalayim, the third bracha, Sheshom HaBeis HaMikdash. That's where the Beis HaMikdash was. K'moy Shemazkirim beBracha Zois, as we actually say that, in that bracha, Val Habayis Hagodol Vahakodoy Shanikro Shimcholov. Ze Bechinas Beisa Bein Shmayo La'ara. This corresponds to what Rabbeinu Zal speaks about there in Likut Imran, where the wise men of Athens said to Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya, build us a house, can you make for us a house that's between heaven and earth? Shehu bechinas hamshochas haTorah hakdoisha sheyesh lokiyum. This is related to a person drawing Torah that has a solidness to it, that's eternal, that's permanent, not that shaky Torah, not that Torah that comes from those alfin hanafulim that has no base to it, that has no foundation to it. K'moy shekosov shom, as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this over there in Likut Imran. Ki habeis hamikdash sheBirushalayim zehu ikar bechinas habayis shel kiyum, because the Beis Hamikdash, which was in the city of Yerushalayim, that represents the ultimate solid house. Shehu Bechinas Beisa Bein Shmai La'ara. That's the house that connects heaven and earth, that unites heaven and earth in a positive way. Kishom Shar HaShamayim, because that's the gateway to heaven. The Zohar HaKadosh says that all the tefillos of all the Jews from all over the world, before they can go up to heaven, they have to make two stops. One is the Beis HaMikdash, or today the Kosel Maravi, and the other one is the Moras HaMachpelah. So that's the Shar HaShamayim. Vishom Yesoid Haoretz. And the Beis HaMikdash was also the foundation stone of the earth, the planet earth. Kishom Ho Evan Shesia. That's where that special rock was, the Evan Shesia, Shemimenu Hushtas Oilam, from which the world was founded. Nimtza, Shehabeis HaMikdash Hu Iker Habayis Shebein Shmai La'ara. The Beis HaMikdash is the house that's between heaven and earth, and that unites heaven and earth in a positive way. We know the Meforshim bring that the opening letter of the Torah is a large bays, the bays of Bereshis. It's called Bayis Rabosi, the large bays, which represents the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is telling us on page 1, line 1, the first letter, that what's the ultimate purpose of Klal Yisrael? To prepare a bayis for Hashem, to make a residence for Hashem. V'alkein shom ikar ha-toiro ha-amitis. And that's why it's in the Beis HaMikdash that you had the most truthful Torah, the highest level of Torah semes. Ki shom ha-yo-oimed ha-oroin im ha-luchais. That's where you had the Holy Ark with the luchais, with the tablets that came directly from Hashem. Umishom teitzei Torah, and it's from the Beis HaMikdash that Hashem broadcasts Torah to the entire world. Kamesha Kosov, as it says, ki mitzion teitzei Torah. From Tzion, from Yerushalayim, goes forth Torah. Kishom, note the word Tzion is also Bigematria Yosef, the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik, the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael, and the Tzaddik are one. Kishom hoyu yoishvim hasanhedrin belishkas hagozis, because in the Beis HaMikdash you had the greatest rabbis, the Sanhedrin Hagdoila, the Supreme Court that sat in the lishkas hagozis. Umishom hoyu tzrichin lekabel amitas haTorah, and it's from there that Klal Yisrael all over the world received the essence of truth of the Torah. Kamesh Kosev, as it says clearly in the Chumash. Ki pole mimcho dovor la mishpot, bein dom ledin, bein, it mentions that if you have any kind of difficult question in any aspect of Torah, what should you do? Vekamto v'oliso el hamokoin. You will get up and go up to that place, go to the Beis HaMikdash. V'alkein, al yidei birkas boine Yerushalayim, Mamshichim Kiddushas HaTorah Kedusha. And therefore, through that third bracha of Birchas HaMozoim, we draw upon ourselves the holiness of the Torah, Shehu Bechinas Beisa Bein Shmai La'ara, which is represented by that house that's between heaven and earth, Shehu Bechinas Kiddushas HaBeis HaMikdash, which represents the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash. Ubracha revi'is, and the fourth bracha, Shehi hatoiv hametiv, hu kedei levarer ulahalois, gam hatoiv hagonuz, bahatoira shel hatalmid chachomim hapigumim anal. That fourth bracha represents a major concept that Rabbi Nizal speaks about in that chapter in Likut Imran, that the great tzaddikim have the ability to search for and to find the good inside of those alfin hanefulin, inside the sitrachra, inside those talmid chachamim whose learning is damaged, is mistaken. They're able to find the good that's inside there and be able to extract it and elevate it to kedusha. Kituve gonis begavei. Because there's a certain goodness that's hidden inside of it. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this, that the letter Tes, in the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Tes, which represents Toiv, the way that you draw a tes, you have the right side of the tes, which is sort of shaped like the letter Zion. Then it comes down, you have the base of the tes, then it goes up, and then it goes inside. It turns back down inside of itself. If you picture how the tes looks in a Sefer Torah, or we see it right over here in the Likutei Halachos. The tes, I'm sorry, here you see it on the right side, that it turns inside of itself. The upper part of the tes on the right side turns inside of itself. I'm sorry, I inverted it in my mind. That's this concept of tuve gonus begave, that sometimes you have something that on the outside appears to be darkness, it appears to be something bad, but there is a holy spark, there is something good inside. Utsrichen levarer ulahalois gam hatoiv shebetoichoi. And the tzaddikim and the mission of Klal Yisrael is also to refine and extract and elevate the good that's found in there, in the Sitrachra, in the Alfin, in these Tamid Chachamu or Pegumim. Bibchinas, as we find the Gemara points out about Rabbi Meir, the Gemara asks, how is Rabbi Meir allowed to continue learning from Acher, from his rabbi who became an Apikoiris? And the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir rimoin matzo. Rabbi Meir found a pomegranate. Just like in a pomegranate, the outside of it is inedible. It's only the inside. In the inside, you have those pits that you can eat. The Gemara says, Toichoi ochal, kliposoi zorak. The inside he ate, the outside he threw away, he discarded. So Rabbi Meir was on a madrega to be able to recognize the good and the bad, and to be able to extract, to go inside and extract that good and elevate it, and discard the bed. As Rabbi Nizal discusses this at the end of that chapter 28 in Likutei Moran. An incredible chiddush that's found in one of the commentaries in Likutei Moran, in one of the chapters, we know, just for those who can appreciate this, and for those who can't, your neshamas can appreciate this. There is a concept in Shomayim, Kaviyochel, there are different yeshivas in heaven. The highest yeshiva in heaven, the yeshiva of Hashem himself, is called Mesifta Ilah, the highest, the uppermost yeshiva. Below that, there's a yeshiva that's called Mesifta Derukia, the Mesifta of heaven, of which the Rosh Yeshiva there is the Malach Memtes. There's an angel, the chief angel in heaven, the highest angel in heaven, who is called Mem Tes Tes Resh Vav Nun. Sometimes it's spelled Mem Yud Tes Tes Resh Vav Nun. But that's the spelling of the name of it. That's this angel who's mentioned in the Gemara in several places, and especially in the Zohar Kodesh and Sifrei Kabbalah, there's a lot written about this angel. We're told that the difference between these two is mentioned relevant to many things. Kaviyochel, the yeshiva of Hashem, is called Shabbos, Shabbos Kodesh, which is Kuloi Toiv, all good. We say on Shabbos Harachman, Yantleim Shekuloi Shabbos, may Hashem give us a day that's all Shabbos, all good. Whereas the yeshiva of the Malach Memtes, there's still a concept of debate, like in the six volumes of Mishnah, where you have six types of arguments: kosher pasul, tomei tohor, asur mutar. The six elements of back and forth that are debated throughout the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, throughout the Torah Shebaal Peh. So it's brought that the Malach Memtes, this angel, he represents this concept of the 6 days of the week, this concept where good and bad are mixed together. There's still a concept of good and bad, of right and left. It's brought that in the Mesifta Ilah, in Hashem's yeshiva, there's no debating. There's just clear facts, clear truths. In the lower yeshiva, there's still an aspect of what we find in Torah Shebaal Peh, this kosher posel, tamei tohor, osur mutar. So the Mefarshim point out that this angel's name, if we take a look at this angel's name, Mem Tes Tes, Resh Vav Nun, the middle letters are Tes Tes, two Teses, which are Begematria Chai. Chai means life. Chai represents Kedusha, holiness. The opposite of the Eitz Hadas. In Gan Eden, there was an Eitz HaChayim, and there was an Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas, Hashem said, is Toiv and Ra, good and bad. If you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you'll die. It's Das, but it's a deadly Das. It's a Das that kills, because the good and bad are mixed together. So the middle letters of this angel's name are Tes Tes. The outer letters spell the word Rimoin, Reish Mem Vav Nun, or Reish Yud Mem Vav Nun. And this is what's hinted to in the Gemara, when the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Rimoin Motza. Rabbi Meir saw the situation. He understood that his Rebbe is a concept of Toivora. At one point he was a Tana, he was a tremendous tzaddik, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya. But then he went sour, he was bad. Rabbi Meir was on a madrega to take the center, to take the chai, and to discard the klipa, to discard, to remove the negative aspect of it. On top of this, my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld Zichron Avrocha once mentioned that the Meforshim tell us, we know Rabbeinu Zal said that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, his name Shimon, makes up the first letters of a pasuk in Daniel, I believe, where it says, Ir v'kadish min Shemaya Nochis, a holy angel came down from heaven. Rabbi Shimon is referred to as a Malach Elokim, Tana Eloiki, Tana Eloikai. So we know that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal passed away on the 18th of Iyar, Chai Iyar, and he's buried in Miron. This angel's name, this angel who is the chief angel in Shemayim, his name has these two parts to it. The middle letters, Tes Tes, are Chai, which is the date of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's passing. The outer letters spell the word Miron, which is the location where Rabbi Shimon is found. We touched on this concept of the Toy Choyochel Klipos Zorak. I wanted to include that. Back to earth. Vezehu Birchas HaToy V'Hametiv. And this is what that fourth bracha of Birkas Hamozen is all about. Kedei levarer ulahalois gam hatoiv hazeh hagonuz bein hacholkim vamisnagdim. This represents the ability and the necessity to be able to refine and elevate the good that's hidden among the opposing forces, among the misnagdim, among those that opposed tzaddikim, opposed kedusha. Ki birkas hatoy v'hametiv biyavne teknua. Because the Gemara tells us that this fourth blessing was established by the rabbis in the Beis Din in Yavne, after they were evicted from Yerushalayim. The Sanhedrin were thrown out of Yerushalayim, and they set up shop in Yavne. Al Harugei Beitar, and they instituted that fourth bracha to bless Hashem over the Jews that had been murdered in Beitar and weren't given a Jewish burial until a certain point in history. And when they were Shenitnu Likvura, when they were finally allowed to be buried, that's when the rabbis instituted this bracha, Hatoiv, that they were able to be buried, and Meitiv, that throughout all the time that the bodies were lying outside, they never decomposed. They didn't have any bad odor to them, as the Gemara says. V'haruge beitar hoya al shehidliku neirois l'churban beis hamikdash. And the Medrash tells us, the Medrash Eicha says, why were those people murdered in Beitar? Because they celebrated when the Beis Hamikdash was being burnt. The Medrash points out that the people of the city of Beitar used to come to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim, at that time, right before the Beis Hamikdash were destroyed, there were these wise men, but who were also wise guys, who wanted to trick people. And these wise men would engage these guests that came from Beitar to Yerushalayim, and they would say, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Welcome. What do you do? And they would start engage them in conversation, and they would find out what fields these people had, what real estate, and they would write up false documents as if the people had sold them their fields, and then they would send back messages to Beitar saying that if this person, the actual owner of the field, comes back and wants to get into his field, don't let him in because I have a document here that shows that he sold it to me. And because of this, the people of the city of Beitar cursed Yerushalayim. They were angry. And when they saw, when they heard the Beis Hamikdash was burning, they lit candles to celebrate because they were so angry at these chachamim. Again, these wrong type of chachamim of Yerushalayim. And it says they were punished for this, that they were killed and they weren't even given burial. Nimtza shehoyu misnagdim al Yerushalayim u'Beis Hamikdash. So we see that these people of Beitar, specifically, the Medrash Eicha says there in chapter 2, that they were opposed, they were against Yerushalayim, against the Beis Hamikdash, Sheshom Iker Mekoyim HaToyro Hamitis, which is the ultimate, the highest place of the true Torah. Avul Bevadai Gamheim Tzrichim Tikun. However, they also require tikkun. We don't say burn them, they get rid of them. They're Jews. They were Jews. They made a mistake. They require tikkun. Ki bevadai hoyo bohem toiv harbe. Because there definitely was a lot of good in them. Rak shetou al yidei limudim roim shel hamisnagdim alohemes. It's just that they made a mistake. They were mistaken through the wrong type of limudim of people who opposed to the emes. Ad shesomchu vehidliku neirois al churban beis hamikdash, to the point where they rejoiced and they lit candles to celebrate the destruction of the beis hamikdash. V'ta'am to'usam machmas shehoyu b'Yerushalayim rishoyim. What caused this mistake was the fact that there were rishoyim, there were wicked people in Yerushalayim at the time. Avol be'emes bevadai chotu moed bozeh. However, the truth is, they still committed a grave sin in celebrating the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim. Ki bevadai afal pikein, because even though there were some Rishoyim in Yerushalayim at the time, still, ein lohem lismoyach al achurban Beis Hamikdash, shesham ikra Torah. That's no reason to celebrate the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, which is the source of the highest level of Torah. Rak shetou al yedei limudim roim hanal kanal. However, again, they were mistaken because they made wrong comparisons and wrong analogies to come to this type of conclusion. V'alkein kishenitnu lekvura, and therefore, when they were finally permitted to bury them, sheze b'chinas tikun hames. We know that burial is a major tikkun for the person who passed away. Sheyizbale hora ba'ofar, where the negative aspect of the person, the body, should rot in the ground. V'hatoiv yizbarer v'yale l'sharoshu menuchosoy. And the good, the neshama, the soul, should be able to rise up and go back to its original source, to its resting place. Alkein tiknuos birchas hatoiv ha-meitiv. This is why the rabbis instituted, they added this broch of hatoiv ha-meitiv at that point in history. V'alkein tiknu broch hazois bebirchas hamozen daika. And this will explain also why the rabbis added this broch in benching, in birchas hamozen. Ma shelechoira tamua, which seems to be very strange. Ma shaychus shel kvuras haruge beitar lebirkas hamozein. What in the world is the connection between the haruge beitar being buried and birkas hamozein? Achal pi anal muvan heitev. However, based on what we're learning here in this halacha, it becomes perfectly clear. Ki ikar biur hatoiv me haklipa hualidei huachila. Because one of the most outstanding examples of separating the good from the bad is the process of eating. Dahainu alidei birkas hamozein shemavorchen achar achila, and especially through those special prayers that we say when we finish eating. to enable us, that Hashem should help us, that the proper separation should take place inside of us, that the good, nutritious part of the food should go to all, should be directed to all the different parts of the body, should be broken down, and the best, the choicest part goes to the brain, and then the heart, and then the other organs of the body, and the waste matter in the food should be removed from the body, should be eliminated from the body. Ve'ikr habirur hulevarer hatoiv hagonuz betoiv halimudim pegumim kanal. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, the most important birur is not just separating the good from the bad, but being able to go inside of the bad and discover the good inside of there and extract that also and save that also. Shezeu bechinas haruge beitar shenitnu likvura. Another example of this is the Haruge Beitar, who did something terrible. But they had a tikkun also. There was a tikkun for them also, which would result in elevating the good inside of them. This is why the rabbis established this bracha as part of the Birkas HaMozayim, the Hainu Birkas HaToy V'Hameitiv Kanal. Any questions, please? One question that's raised here in the chat is that we know that we're told usually that tikkun hayesoid, that tikkun abris, is the most important tikkun. And yet we find that the sin of the Eitz Hadas, we're told, is achila. And in the pages that we're learning here, in the last 50 pages or more of Likutei Halachos, there's so much emphasis on achila. Is there a connection? The answer is there has to be a connection, no question about it. We know, for example, the Gemara tells us that there are certain foods that are marbe zera. There are certain foods that increase the potential for a person to produce children. The Gemara mentions eating garlic on Friday night as a means of increasing the zera, increasing the potential for producing children. The Chayodom mentions that on Erev Yom Kippur, there are many foods that a person should not eat. A person should not eat dairy, a person should not eat eggs, or a person shouldn't eat other foods that are marbe zera, because Yom Kippur is the ultimate day of purity, of tikkun abris, when there's a complete separation between male and female. And again, part of the preparation is watching what we eat, that certain foods increase the taiva, certain foods and certain foods give energy, positive energy, certain foods give negative energy. And it affects everything, including especially the tikkun abris and the potential for bringing, the Shulchan Aruch warns that as a person shouldn't overeat when a person's fasting or overeating. That's a time that could be potentially dangerous and harmful for the yichud between husband and wife. So there definitely are connections.
We do see even more, because the achila was a gateway for the pagam of brishis. The Gemara said that v'hitul ba'al nachash alcha v'hitul ba'zuama. She was the gateway for that. So we see the gzeir of bishul akum is that we shouldn't be mischatan with goyim. Through eating is the gateway for the pagam of bris.
Beautiful. A few very important points, that in the snake giving the advice to Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, the terminology that's used is hitil bo zuama, that the snake injected a filth into Chava. And it's called hishiani. Rabbein Azal says in Likutei Moharan, Rabbein Azal points out in chapter 7, hishiani means nisuin, that the sin of the Eitz Hadas was a marriage to the Sitrachra, an act of Pegam Abris. And we know that those went together there. We're told that Adam Arishon, during the Han, the whole concept of Shoivovim that we're involved now, the tikkun of the Jews going down to Egypt and coming out of Egypt, is based on the Pegama Bris of Adam Arishon during the 130 years that he separated from his wife Chava. So these two are definitely very much connected. And it was pointed out that in Halacha, the whole major discussion about a Jew not eating together with non-Jews and not eating food that was cooked by a non-Jew, it said, is all based on chitun. We're afraid that this could lead, if you'll eat together, it'll lead to social contact, it'll lead to marriage. So again, there's definitely a strong connection between those two.
Rav Nosson, please summarize the difference between the Rav Nosson's answer with the Haruge Beipal and benching. In other words, they should have extracted the good from the bad learning of the bad people of Yerushalayim. They should have seen through their flaw. I missed that.
No. Rav Nosson's pointing out that we see, number one, that the mistake of the people in Beitar, that they did this terrible thing of celebrating the Churban Beis Hamikdash, was because they encountered Chachamim Roim. They encountered, the Medrash calls them wise people. These people in Yerushalayim at the time were Chachamim, but they were Chachamim Lahora. They used their shrewdness to rob, to steal from people. So that's number one. That was the initial Pigam. Now, the people of Beitar interpreted that in a way that Yerushalayim is no good, the whole city, and the Beis Hamikdash is no good. And as a result, they celebrated the destruction of Yerushalayim. So they were wrong also. They were terribly wrong. Again, they listened, they engaged these bad chachamim, and as a result, they came to the wrong conclusions also to celebrate the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But we're told that even in these chachamim roim, and even in these limudim roim, there's a toiv in there that requires a tikkun. And the concept of the burial of these people, when they were finally given a Jewish burial, that represents the tikkun, where in a human being, where there's, in every Jew, where there's good and bad, the process of tikkun requires the burial, which allows the negative to disappear, to dissolve the body, and allows the positive, the holiness, to rise up to heaven, the neshama, to be able to rise up to where it needs to go to. That was the and just like eating and birchas hamazon is a concept of engaging this place of good and bad and sorting it out, eliminating the bad, removing the bad, and elevating the good.
I hear Rav Nosson, I just still feel that they were set up. I mean, these people were chachamim, and they were taken advantage of. Why should? Yes, they made a mistake, but they were set up. Is that maybe why their bodies didn't rot? In other words, there's a tova in that part of it. Could be
possible. But here again, the message to us and to them is the Torah tells us very clearly. The book of Mishlei especially speaks about the good woman, the Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, and it speaks about the Isha Zayna. The Torah makes it perfectly clear on page the Nachash. The Torah says Hanachash Shoya Orum Mikol Chayes Asode, that the Nachash is shrewd. He's a chacham. He's very smart. Keep back 2,000 feet. There's a chachma which gives life. There's hachachma techaye baaleha, and there's chachamim heim lahora ulehetiv layadu. The Torah stresses this thousands of times. There's good chachamim and bad chachamim. In the those that are learning Daf Yomi, we just had a story recently in the Gemara, where the Gemara says kohanim gedolim, that during the second Beis Hamikdash, the kohanim gedolim, many of them were rishoim, evil people, where they did all kinds of terrible things. And the Gemara gives an example of one of the kohanim gedolim who was arrogant, And the Gemara says that, and it shows what he did, how he misused with his arrogance, how he caused the Jews to suffer. And the Gemara says, how did Hashem pay him back? That one time, the king at the time, the king of who came from the Chashmonaim at that time were ruling Klal Yisrael. The king and the queen got into a debate. What's the debate? Which is more choicer meat, a young lamb or a goat? And they had different opinions. The king said this, and the queen said this. So it said, who can resolve this for us? Who can? The best person is the Kohen Gadol. He's involved in goats and lambs all day. He's seeing karbanos all day. So they invited the Kohen Gadol, and they said to him, could you help us? We have a disagreement here about which is more precious. So the Kohen Gadol made a face like, you know, what are you people? You don't know anything. Anyone knows that the lamb is more is better meat, because it says in the korban tamid, which was brought twice a day, it says es hakeves echot taseh baboiker. It came from a keves. But he made a mocking gesture as if to say, like, what do you know? What do you know? I know. So the Gemara says that the king said, you're mocking, you're looking at us, you're looking at me like a fool. He said, cut off his left arm. Cut off his left arm. I'm sorry, cut off his right arm. Exactly, cut off his right arm. And this Kohen Gadol again was shrewd. He paid off, he had wealth, that stolen wealth. He paid off the executioner to cut off his left arm instead. The king found out about this, and the king said, now cut off his right arm also. And then the Gemara says afterwards, But by the way, he was right, wasn't he, that the kefes is the choicest meat? The Gemara says, no, he got that wrong too. And the Gemara shows a pasuk which shows that in certain there are places in the Torah which says kefes and eis together, shoyer oy chesev oy together, showing that neither one is better; they're both good. So we see there is this concept. The Torah warns us throughout that it's not just because someone is intelligent and smart, that doesn't mean that you can draw life from them and good advice from them. That it requires a tremendous search. It requires a lot of Torah and a lot of tefillah to be able to recognize, to differentiate between emes and sheker, between the isha yiras Hashem and the isha zoyna rachman al-tan, as they're called throughout Mishlei.
Thank you, Rav Moshe.
Seems also the people in Yerushalayim, so it, we're not saying about their evil, they were evil. It said that they were, the problem was the Beita, the people from Beita made the wrong limudim, we said, right? Isn't that
exactly, 100%.
We say a lot, don't judge Judaism by the Jews.
Important point, don't judge Judaism by the Jews, meaning, here again, unfortunately, that's the mistake of many non-religious people or people who are not too religious, that they hear a story about a supposedly religious person who did something bad or wrong, and sometimes the story could be true or false, but even if the story is true, those religious people, they're no good. That was the mistake of these people in Beitar. Just because they engage some of these chachamim lahora doesn't mean that all Talmidei Chachamim are bad. The Torah makes it perfectly clear that there are both. There are both. And a person has to search, a person has to be zoiche to find the right Chacham. That's the concept of searching and searching for the Tzadik Emes, searching for the true Talmidei Chachamim, searching for the truth in Torah. Anyone else, please?
Can we say that, going back to the argument that we had earlier on the Tavat Achila versus Tavat Hamishgal, that we see that Adam HaRishon fell first in Tavat Achila, and maybe it led to Zera Levata, etc. And even in Sipur Masiot, in Maaseh Bat HaMelech, the first one, we see that he ate from the tree that he wasn't supposed to, the apples which he told him not to eat, the fast on that day, and then he drank wine when he wasn't supposed to. So we see that Achila, could we say that Achila
leads to falling asleep, to a certain shena, to letting loose, letting go, and then it opens the door to other worser things, such as Tavata Mishigal. And also, can we also say that somebody that really has a hang on Tavata Achila, really dominates that desire and has it in his hand, so to speak, has a handle and locked the door to fall further away to Tavata Mishigal?
The answer is most definitely yes. Rabbi Nazar speaks about this in several places, but especially in chapter 60 in Likutei Moran, which expounds on that first story in Sipurei Maaseiyos. There Rabbi Nazar speaks about waking up people from their sleep. And he writes there, "V'yesh shenoflu lebechina shena al yedei taivoy sumaisim roim." There are people who fall into a deep sleep, a spiritual sleep, as a result of their bad desires and misdeeds. And then he writes, "V'yesh shehim anoshim ksherim v'yofim." There are people who are religious and beautiful, rak shenefilosam hu al yedei achila. However, their fall comes through eating. And he writes, because at times when a person eats a food that isn't yet refined and ready for a person to eat it, that causes that person's brain to fall into a spiritual sleep. And he says, just like Begashmius, there are foods that put people to sleep. We have the famous story in the Navi where Yael gave Sisera warm milk and cheese and wine. He was fatigued, he was tired. She gave him warm milk and cheese and wine in order to get him, not to energize him, to de-energize him, to weaken him, to get him to fall asleep, and then she cut off his head. So Rabbi Nazar says that there are foods that help a person sleep less. Caffeine, I believe, if they're telling the truth, caffeine, coffee, a person could be very tired, they haven't slept in hours, and they get a burst of caffeine, and they can stay up another 10 hours. And Rabbi Nazar says, so too spiritually, there are foods that have not yet been refined and aren't ready to be taken in by a person that can bring a person into spiritual sleep. Whereas when a person eats Bikdusha Betara with holiness and purity, then their food is called Lechem Haponim, like in the Beis Hamikdash. Bread of the face. Face means a lit up face. Chachma, life, etc., etc. Rabbi Nazar has a whole beautiful discussion there in chapter 60, paragraph 6.
Beautiful, thank you.
Sure. Anyone else? Wishing everybody a wonderful day and week. We should be zocher to receive life from our learning, from our eating, from everything we do, to attach ourselves to Chaim, to the source of life, to Hashem, the Torah, the Tzadikim, and to be protected and saved from all sicknesses and all sadness and all terrible things, Chas v'Shalom.
Amen. Thank you very much.
All the best.
Have a great day, Rabbi.
A wonderful day to all.
Amen. Thank you, Rav Nathan, so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Good day. Well, too.
Thank you very much, Rav Nathan.